like, as we open our prayer meeting, you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do bow before you. Thank you for your personal presence. Thank you for being always, forever, who you are. So deal with us as we consider where we are now in the light of where things used to be, in the light of where we're going. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it, in all of it. In Christ's name, amen. And you would recall in your mind Isaiah chapter 6. And remember, Isaiah is the one of the prophets ministering to the 10 tribes of Israel in the north when the division after the days of King Solomon. And in the 10 tribes in the north, and he was a God's prophet, God's man. God always raised the prophets up when the people weren't doing well. The kings didn't do well. That's why you have all the prophets. They just didn't do well. So God had to keep substituting more and more help for them. Now, so here in Isaiah chapter 6, remember, just refreshing your mind and mine, verse 9, remember Isaiah is said, here am I, God was looking for someone, and God found, here was Isaiah, willing to go, to be used by God. In verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That they just aren't going to do that. And Isaiah wants to know, remember, how long is this going to be in a negative way? Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. So God encourages Isaiah at the very beginning of his ministry, that he's going to go and have one tough time. He's going to go from one encounter, battle, like a boxer in the ring. He's going to go out, and it gets a little break, and when is the fight going to end? When are they going to stop coming at him? And the trouble is, you've got different boxes coming in. So if you don't have the same guy, you could say, well, but you got all these different ones coming, banging away. And Isaiah, how long are you going to do that? Well, for 40 years he did that. That was his ministry. 40 years at bank being going nowhere. And he ended up with what? The Assyrian captivity. 100 years later, plus or minus a couple, 100 years later, go over with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. And now you're looking at Babylon coming, Nebuchadnezzar, and God has another man named Jeremiah who he raises up, and at the very beginning he levels with him what's going to be. So it's no picnic to honor God in the world. Is no picnic. The world hates God, doesn't want God. And so anyone, always, Moses, all the way down the line. Noah, where do you want to go? The world doesn't want God. Doesn't want God to be God. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And as we've been sharing in the light of our study, remember Jeremiah, here we are in our present world. And you almost can go on at least a weekly basis, almost, when everything is happening. And to add to all of the terrible complication, we got the people wanting to go in Utah and other way, Michigan and wherever, and they want to be able to go and say, listen, I want a marriage license. There's four of us. What's the difference? And you have whatever you want. And the schools, Christian schools, are giving in to homosexuality. What can we do? We got to do. Everything that you had that was something isn't going to be. And add to that Iran and that kind of horrendous, and everyone says it's horrendous that knows anything, and then to give them the embargo, the right to bring in arms and missiles with $150 billion cash that they have, to bring in arms, that they're the leading terrorist country in the world. Now, you do that, you do that crazy stuff, and whether we can stop it, I don't think so. I think it's going to go in the light of everything else. So God, we aren't finding any security here from a worldly standpoint. In fact, everything is getting shakier, and more worrisome, more troublesome. So God, here we are looking, and here's Isaiah, and you didn't tell him yet. You didn't tell Noah. You never told Noah he would have a good time for 120 years. He didn't have a good. He built the ark. Did he succeed helping anybody? Nope. Didn't help anybody. Isaiah, where do you want to go? God, did you ever tell us we'd have a little picnic? No, I didn't. And thus here's Jeremiah. And now, having said that, and remember Jeremiah, he's given verse 8, chapter 1. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Here I am. I'm going to help you. So you've got to be delivered, and you're going to have to be afraid. There's a lot of stuff to be afraid of, but don't you be afraid. And remember, we shared together to remind ourselves. Verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people thereof. That's everybody. Uh-huh. Verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. They're not going to prevail at all. It's not going to work. And remember now, they're looking, and God is going to try to give them all the warning he can and to help them. But they wanted to be like the other nations. That's what they wanted to be like. You know, remember 1 Samuel chapter 8, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they wanted to be like other nations. Now, if you want to be like other nations, then you're going to have to succeed and survive like other nations. And that's what they're doing. Are they turning to God in a crisis hour? Nope. They want to be like other nations. Other nations don't turn to God. They turn to their gods. Not to God. And they wanted to be like the other nations, and so they stay that way, and they just continue on the same path. They aren't changing at all. So now, keeping that little bit in mind, and remembering, he's going to bring all of his messages, the messages he's going to bring one after another to the Judah and to Jerusalem, the tribe, Benjamin. He's going to bring that, and in the process of all of that, they are not going to receive any of those messages. They're just going to go. He's going up against a negativity. They aren't going to change. They aren't going to change. They're determined to go and think and do what they're going to do. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 4, in chapter 4, and in verse, picking up if I can, in verse 19. Jeremiah is this is no easy thing. No, and hang on, we're going to get the pieces together, I hope. And in chapter 4, verse 19, my bowels, my insides, my inner guts, my bowels, I am pained at the very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, and no one's paying attention. No one's paying attention. Tornado is coming. Big whistle. And we all sit and eat ice cream outside. They say, you get concerned. Now, and thus, verse 20, construction upon destruction is cried. For the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard, the banner waving, and hear the sound of a trumpet? Remember the standard. This is, pay attention on whose side you're on, where you're going. And how long am I going to do that? Well, and Jeremiah, you are caught up in this. Absolutely, I'm caught up in it. So are we going to be able to escape? And remember now the train illustration that we used it 100 years ago. It's even more relevant now. Here's the train going down the tracks in time from A to B to C. And the tracks are set, the train's set, and humanity rides in the different cars, and they ride in the car. And as you go down the corridor of time, what do you have? Well, as you go down, everyone's inside. They have their table to eat, and they have ping pong, and they have pizza, and they have all kinds of things. And Portia faces life. You don't remember that. That's a long time ago. Anyway, soap operas, you get all kinds of stuff going, and we're just enjoying television and this and that and entertainment and golf and everything we're doing. And every time we look out the window when we take time, the signs have been warning us from plush green grass, it's all disappearing, and the little signs keep telling you of what's ahead and what's happening. But the trouble is, we aren't looking out the window and paying attention to the signs. So we're busy inside, and we're very comfortable as a people, as a nation. We're very, whatever we have, what's wrong with it? So what? I'm not going to be this, and I'm not going to do that. Except you may not. But when the whole system is like that, you're riding the train, whether you like it or not. And wherever the train's going, that's where the system's going. And you're going to have to get off down there. So now, keeping that little bit in mind, so here, and doing two sides of the coin here. Go over with me. I'm coming back here. Go over with me, please. Oh, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We may not get very far, but we'll try. John chapter 15. Our Lord in the upper room was about to be crucified, and he prepared the people, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He prepared his disciples for the people. He prepared them for what was ahead. You won't read anything that's a picnic. He told them straight outright what's going to happen. He let them know so that they wouldn't. So when you be, that's why people often don't get saved. Well, I don't want to have to change. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to. Listen, you have to. You have to. Repentance means 180 degree change. You go from one side, turn around, and go the other direction. Now, so here in John chapter 15, upper room, and they're warned, warned as we, as without doing all that, John chapter 15, picking up please, remember in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And verse 20, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't understand, I am from the Father, I am the Father. And the Father is in me. I represent the Father, I should say. Now, in the light of that, he told them that. Over in chapter 16 of John, verse 33, these things, 16:33, these things have I told you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world, which hates you, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, all the oppression, all kind of things. Isn't going to be. They aren't interested in light. They love darkness. They aren't interested in good. They are after evil. They aren't interested in right. They're going wrong. They aren't going to change. They don't want to. And thus, in the world, verse 33, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, courage. I have overcome the world. So that's good, Lord, you've overcome the world. And here we are left in the world. That's correct. Over John 14. John 14. And he said, or reminded them, chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, the false peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I didn't say don't be over-enthused and excited about everything. You're going to be in trouble. It's going to be hard. And you need to know that. So don't be caught up in the trauma and the trouble and the direction. You're there in the world as a little light, in the world but not of it, and I leave you there. I could take you out, but I'm leaving you for the moment. And therefore, I don't want you to be troubled, and I'm giving, remember we shared, it isn't something I'm going to wish upon you. I'm going to give you my peace. It's a gift. So either you exercise the gift or you don't. You are given a gift. Now, either you use it or you don't. You don't earn it. You didn't merit it. You use it. God gives you peace. God will keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, either do or you don't. So, well, then don't worry about everything, Philippians 4:6. Now, so having said that, back over to Jeremiah. Back over to Jeremiah, if you would, add in chapter 6. Remember, we're just reviewing, but before we pick up on chapter 10 again, and all we're doing is trying to get you with the mood of Jeremiah. So then when you go in the individual pieces as you're going, each piece, at least you got a refresher course. Jeremiah chapter 6, picking up if I can, please, and verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning? That, reason, they may hear, they need to hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. So if your Bible's open, theirs isn't. They don't want to know what's said. They don't want to hear what Jeremiah says, and we, country, don't want to read it. Don't want to read it. Don't want to pay attention. Just don't want to read it. God said, well, that's what they're doing. And they have an uncircumcised ear. They can't hear. They're spiritually deaf, as we're doing in the Gospel of John. Now, over to chapter 4, in verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. So circumcised heart, circumcised ear, that's what they need to have. And you remember Stephen, in his great, wonderful discourse to the Jewish people before they stoned him to death, his great discourse was, I want you to know, you have always had an uncircumcised heart and an uncircumcised ear. You don't hear and you don't want to understand. Now, I hate taking time. Go there. Acts 7. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Acts chapter 7. Acts 7 and verse 51. Acts 7 and 51. Listen to him. He adds it. That's why they stoned him. They hated it. They hated listening to him. Ye stiff-necked, 7 Acts, 7, 5, 1. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and he is, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. So they haven't changed, and here they are now in Israel over there, and they are in getting more and more in a terrible, terrible, increasing, terrible position with Iran and the whole Arab world in uproar about the whole thing and all that's going to happen. Wow. Now, over back to Jeremiah chapter 6, and picking up, if I can, in verse 13, 6 and 13. Oh, wait, 6 and 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, lightly, indifferently, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There just isn't any. So you're getting a false movement, a false thinking. Well, it doesn't matter. It isn't critical. What difference is it going to make? What can you do anyway? And we have all that kind of thinking. And they did. And they were given that. So that's why they kept going. Why didn't someone yell and stop and fix and refuse? But no, they just were told everything is going to be all right. You just wait and see. So that's what they were told. False optimism, false hopes. Chapter, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And when you do that, you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest. Now hang on to that. Remember, without turning there, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, the Lord tells them before they enter the land across the Jordan, before they cross the Jordan, you guys are now going to have to make a decision. Are you going to choose life and blessing or death and cursing? Which are you going to choose? You're going to go one way or the other. Which are you going to choose? They had a choice. So they didn't have to know and get thrown into something and then not know what to do. Before they went into it, they were told what to do. Choose this. Don't drink the milk with arsenic in it or cyanide, strychnine. Drink this milk. Now, in the light of that, they had to choose. And are they going to go back and think about what God told them? You got to get back on the right path. You want to get straightened out? Get on the right path again. And the end of verse 16, But they said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to walk. We will not walk therein. Verse 17. All right, you aren't going to go there. You aren't going to behave. You aren't going to go in that direction. Nope. Verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you. Hearken, listen, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But, they said, we will not hearken. We will not walk. We will not hear. How are we doing so far? We will not do it. Now, verse 18. I therefore hear, ye nations, all around of Philistines and everyone else. Now hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation that is among them, people. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil trouble upon this people, even the fruit of their what they sow, of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they rejected it. They have rejected it. They continue to go in the wrong road. They ought to go in the right road. They're not going to change whatsoever. Chapter 7. And what are they doing? Well, they're trusting. They're trusting in the system. They're trusting in their background. They're trusting in things. And as you know, we did chapter 7, verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. In other words, they were going, and the temple, Solomon's temple, that's God's temple, God's blueprint. That's where it came from. Where's Solomon's temple? God. It's all of God. And that's our temple. It doesn't belong to the Philistines or the Egyptians. That's our temple. Our temple. We're protected. That's ours. God isn't going to hurt his own, is he? God wouldn't. We're protected. And we're trusting. I'm raised to this, and I've been a good guy, and I've been righteous, and I've always cared about good things, and I never shot anybody yet, and everything is just wonderful, well, comparatively. I'm not perfect, but I'm all right. I'm trusting myself. I'm trusting my trust. I'm trusting what I'm trusting in, so that I feel pretty good about myself, and I don't feel that I'm going to be threatened at all. No, they can say, and I think it'll all come out. It may not come out good for everybody, but it's going to come out all right for me. That's what they were thinking. You wouldn't think like that, would you? But they were. That's what they did. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't do that. No, sir. No, can't do that. No, so now, chapter 7. And if I can, sliding over to verse 12. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Now remember Shiloh is where the tabernacle was, in the Judges, here's the tabernacle, Shiloh, up there in the middle, Shiloh, up there. And so there's the tabernacle, and we have the tent, we have everything, and no one's going to touch it. But you remember in Eli and Samuel is the last judge, Eli the high priest, and he went, and they took the ark. Remember the Philistines were coming, and the Israelites were not rightly related to God. And they didn't care, and their heart was wrong. And they went and got the ark like a little symbol to walk with the ark, and the ark will protect us. And the Philistines got all afraid because the ark was coming. You know, wow, God is coming, we're not going to make it. Well, they boasted up, well, we got to fight anyway, and they did. And you know what? They ended up with the ark. They took the ark. They took the ark from the Jewish people, and they took the ark and put it in their own little temples and stuff, and they took the ark. They took the ark. Yeah. To remember what I did in Shiloh. And then, hold your finger here, one place, over to Psalm 78. hope back, stay in Jeremiah there. Psalm 78, just to pick up a little history. Psalm 78 and verse 60. So that he forsook the tabernacle at Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. In other words, I let the whole thing fall apart. What you thought I would never let happen, I let them have the ark. I let them have that special unit. The unit is no good without me. Your Bible is no good. Your Bible is no good without God. You understand that? You can memorize it and say it backwards. Without God, it's no good. So here's the temple. Here's the ark, chapter 7 in Jeremiah. And they took, and they, remember now, they, verse 14, chapter 7. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you are trusting instead of God, unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. So, God, you're going to let the they're trusting the temple, they're trusting the ark, and all of those things, they're going to fail. And God told them, they were trusting them. And God, you know what God let happen in a most awesome way. He let Nebuchadnezzar level the temple. He just leveled it, like dust. Just leveled it. So you, no one's going to touch the temple. God said, let me show you. It isn't the temple. It's me. I don't need the temple. You have abused the temple, and God just removed it, just took it down. And now, keeping that little bit in mind, if you would, as we go, and here we go, chapter, verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways which I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Verse 24. But they hearken not, they wouldn't hear, nor incline their ear, they didn't have an ear to hear, uncircumcised, but walked in the counsels of the imagination of their evil heart, and they went backwards and not forwards. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Verse 26. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. So did anyone want to get it straight? Did anyone want to do better? No, just think of our own country. We didn't try to hold the line. Each thing is happening, and we're going down. We're giving up all of the wonderful things we had that made us rather unique in the world. And everything is given up. Wow. Wow. Now, so now, God, here we are looking. And if I can, in verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And so here's all the idolatry and everything in the temple. And God is going to let it all be judged and taken down. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 8 and verse 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, but behold, trouble. So God, in the midst of everything, think of our own country, chapter 8, verse 15. Think of our own country. People are looking. We're looking. We were hoping for this, and we were hoping for that. And it gets worse. It gets worse and gets worse. And when is it going to end? We look for peace, verse 15. a time of health when we'd have a break. But there doesn't seem to be any break coming at all. Behold, trouble, trouble, trouble. And so in the light of that, chapter 8 and verse 30. Now, chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. See, we're closer to the end, and none of us are saved. God said, I told you. I told you to pay attention. The train's going. You aren't stopping the train. Is anyone going to care? It's going to go. Boom. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Well, God said it isn't that I didn't tell you. Over, if you would, chapter 5. Chapter 5. And picking up that which will help us now. Chapter 5 and verse 20, chapter 5, verse 9. Shall I not, said God, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Should I not, his question, should I not judge them? Are they not to be judged? Do I not need, should I not stop this? Over to chapter 29, verse 29. 5 and 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Chapter 9. Chapter 9. In verse 9. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And God keeps saying, don't you, now pay attention, I'm telling you why it's all going to happen. So don't anyone bring up anything to me about God, you aren't fair, you don't love. Don't say, no one say anything. I'm going to eliminate any way you can say anything. Now, and God did that in a most wonderful way. Chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5 and verse 18. God, what else do we know about you? And what did Israel know if they wanted to? Chapter 5 and verse 18. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not, N-O-T, make a full end of you. In other words, a lot of it's going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar, and all kinds of things, but you're always going to be a nation, Jews. The Jewish nation is never going to disappear. All other nations get absorbed and gone, but not the Jewish nation. It's my nation. It can never belong to any other nation. Anti-Semitism will be everywhere, but it can never fit in. And it never has. And anti-Semitism is at a height now that it was not 5 years ago. Now, so all of this stuff about Israel, and you can imagine if you were over there in Israel, I can just imagine sitting in the court, at council, trying to figure out, do we bomb them or what do we do? Now, so now, in the light of that, in chapter 5, picking up, please, verse chapter 30, go all the way over there, chapter 30, if I can, and in verse 11, chapter 30, verse 11. So God, you're going to be gracious, I am. Chapter 30, and in verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. In other words, all the nations, Babylon, all of them down, they're all going to rise and fall, but you aren't. I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make, I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will leave thee, and will not, N-O-T, leave thee altogether unpunished. You're going to get clipped, and you're going to have one spanking, but that is only going to get you. How is so? You crucified my son. We have no king but Caesar. I'm going to send you into the tribulation. The tribulation is for you to be so troubled and so difficult, and so terribly difficult, that you're going to get ready. It'll take 7 years. At the end of 7 years, the people that are left, some of them, are going to bend their head and get saved. Jews. And I'm going to wait. I'm not making a full end. I'm not making a full end at all. No, and I want you to consider it. I want you to consider it. In verse 24, chapter 30, the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. And now, did you consider it yesterday, tomorrow? No. But when it happens, you're going to pay a little more attention. I told you you're going to be in trouble, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And then you're in trouble. And you know you're in trouble. And I told you, you'll have to wait till you're in trouble to know what I told you. You'll just have to wait. Too bad. I warned you. Now, picking up, please, over to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Jeremiah. If I can, in verse 22. Well, I'm going to have to hold 22. We'll go to 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. You remember it when we did it. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. In other words, you're trusting all your different things in your life to give you a little more safety, a little safety net, a little survival. Don't do that. What to do? Verse 24. But let him that glorieth, if you're going to have a little bit of hope and optimism that's legit, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I hope you understand it isn't the temple, it isn't the ark. It's the one who originate, the one, the, it's, all of that has no meaning apart from me, said God. You need me to make it all come out right, to make it come out as it should. Now, over to chapter 33. Chapter 33. Picking up, if I can, verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, 33:25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, all those 200 billion galaxies, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of the seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. I want you to know, heaven and earth is going to pass away. And when that passes away, you can say, I'll break my promise. But as long as the sun shines and you see stars, I keep my word. Israel, just look up. Abraham looked up, he saw the stars and counted them, and God counted it for righteousness. God said, listen, as long as you see that, I'm going to do what I said, Israel. So be encouraged. Netanyahu, is that his name? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. That's what I'd say if I was over there. Man, I'd go, you know, oh well. Now, and in the light of that, over to we'll do 1, 2, 3 quick. Habakkuk, chapter 2, 3. Habakkuk 3. Remember, Habakkuk's looking at Babylon. He's one of the prophets looking at Babylon. Now, here's chapter 3. And God, you're going to have mercy on Israel? Absolutely. Verse chapter 3, Habakkuk. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of all of that's going on, in the midst of the years, make known, God, in wrath, God, we deserve it all, we've asked for it, in wrath, never forget your mercy. Never forget your mercy. Boy, they're right on target. That's how you and I need to be. Therefore, over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. What are we doing then? Here we are, and we aren't able to do much to stop anything. All we're going to do is live in it, in the midst of it. Chapter 4, picking up, please, if I can, going directly verse 16. Let us therefore, in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the right hand, seated on the right hand of the Father, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What for? In order that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, we need mercy. Mercy has to do with that inclination, that active compassion to relieve. Remember, mercy, miserable. Grace, guilty. You want to handle guilt? God gives grace. You want to handle the misery and miserableness of being alive? Mercy. Mercy. Now, God, we're going to look for that. That's what I'm going to look for. Let's all pray together. All of us will all pray real hard. We'll get 7 million of us to pray. Okay? Let's stop what's happening. What do you think? No, it ain't going to do a thing. It ain't going to happen. Now, one other place that is appropriate, 2 Corinthians, if I can. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And we have a little different word, mercy, but we want to see it afresh. Because here we are. God, I want to know, what am I looking for? I'm looking for your mercy and grace. I'm not going to fix anything. I'm in the middle of it. I'm against whatever. I would vote and do whatever, but that's all. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, God be God, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who happens to be the Father, the source, the origin of mercies, and the God of all comfort and encouragement and consolation. God, what are we going to do? Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful Father. We're able to say, Spirit of God, we've done this in these meetings, Abba, Father, as sons, in the Son, Father, my Father. That's a wonderful thing, my Father. You're the Father of mercy. You're the one who is able to go, and you give of yourself. You give of yourself in compassion, in pity. God, you're going to give it because you care. That's right. I want you to know that I understand where you're at. I understand that you are of the field of the flower, the grass of the field. You're just a little bit. But I want you to know and be encouraged, that I am interested. I am definitely interested in what's going on. I'm having mercy on you. I know what's going on. I know what happens. I want you to understand. What are you going to do, God, about it? I'm going to go something wonderful. Remember now, I'm the God of all comfort, all encouragement. Verse 4, who comforts the believing heart, us, in all our tribulation. Remember the Lord said, in the world is tribulation. It isn't going to go away. All right. That you may be able to comfort, encourage them which are in trouble. That's the people you live with, work with, go to school with. They're going to know they're looking. What's the answer? Is there any hope? You are full of hope. You are full of hope and full of optimism because you're looking to God, who's the God, your Father of mercies, who cares, who encourages, and you understand. We're on the same train they are. The difference is we're looking for God to outwork it, and God is going to see to it that we do not stay in the train, and our removal will not be missed very much. No one's going to care when God goes zip and everyone's gone. It won't matter. You know, just sort of be nice. And then and whatever. Now, so God, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, verse 4, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, well, I mean, we're living through the same thing. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Noah, Lord, you never kidded us about anything. You told us what it would be and what we were to do. It's just we weren't living up to it. We weren't paying attention. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our comfort, our encouragement also aboundeth in Christ. So God, here we are, no matter who, what, when, where, we're able to go. And that's our mission. We're little lights in the darkness. We're here, and God leaves us here. And God's going to take us. And as the things keep going, God is going to take us at the right time, in the right way. And all the things are going to happen. I wish they wouldn't, but they are. And how can you have the shadow of the tribulation coming and not have it come? How can you have the needed stuff to happen for the tribulation that has to be? And we're at 2 minutes of 12. 2 minutes of 12 for us. So, hey, it's all right. Yeah, you know. But we aren't kidding ourselves and make believe that everything's okie dokie. You don't kid yourself. I don't mean that kind of looseness. I'm loose, I hope. You know, I don't sit with Jeanette and or whatever and say, listen, Jeanette, I don't know what are we going to do? I try to hear the news and think what they're going to do, but I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to do anything. What am I going to do? Just going to trust God and be a little light and be an encouragement, and hopefully you encourage me and I'll encourage you, and we do it properly and we'll relax and go forward and we'll pray. And you may have a particular prayer request as we go. Remember the prison ministry. Remember the young people. Remember in each area, in each place.